Hello and welcome to another episode of Monday Mile, your walk and talk podcast and source of moving motivation. I am so excited about today's guest. Summer is well and truly here, which also means so is one of my favourite sports to watch, tennis. It is back and it is grass court time. Strawberries and cream, tents and the queue, or centre court, it really doesn't matter how you do it. My guest this week is a part of the next generation of Brits. She's competed at Grand Slams all over the world. It is Katie Boulter. Welcome to Monday Mile.
Thanks Where for are having we? Me. We are currently in Fulham.
What brings you to Fulham? You're not originally from these ends, right?
No, I actually moved here a few years ago and I absolutely love it, so I've never moved back or anywhere else, so yeah.
West is best. You've heard it here.
So true.
So we've been lucky enough to just catch you the day before you're about to go into a bubble for, is it over a month?
Yes, it will be for a month, yeah. We will be stuck in a hotel for a period of time whilst we play these tournaments coming up over the grass court season, but you know, obviously I'm feeling pretty fortunate to be able to play them, but at the same time, it's definitely going to be a mental challenge to be in there.
Yeah, I can imagine. In the height of British summer as well, stuck in hotels. We'll get onto that in a bit, but take us right back to the start. How did you get into tennis?
So initially, my family play tennis. My mum's side of the family, they're all really sporty. Always were down at the tennis club, my mum coaches. I always used to go down there, and even when my mum was having lessons, I would literally just be on the wall, hitting against the wall, and yeah, I mean, it was super fun, but as I kind of grew up a little bit, it got a bit competitive with my brother, and that was always something that kind of spurred me on, and I think the day that I beat him was actually probably one of the best ones in my career, I would say.
No way! At what age did you beat your brother?
I was 13. Bear in mind, he's 3 years older than me. It's not what you need.
I bet he didn't take that too well, did he?
Yeah, he hasn't played too much tennis since.
Bless him. Brutal. And you still have a knock around now with your mum?
Yeah. You know, I sometimes hit with my mum at Wimbledon. And obviously, it's the most amazing place to go and
that
play.
Like,
you
so
can't get
cool.
any better than that. But yeah, it takes me back to those old playing days when I was super young. And the same with my brother as well. We actually sometimes go for family little hits, which is super cute.
Oh, that is wicked. And your mum actually played for Great Britain, right?
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. She's played a few times, actually, which is pretty amazing. And it's someone that I obviously idolise a lot. So yeah, I got a lot of my feistiness, I think, from her and competitive spirit on the court.
Runs in the blood.
It sure does.
So tell us a little bit about the past year and sort of how tennis has had to adapt with this ever-changing world pandemic. You're recently back from Australia. How was that experience with the quarantine and playing over there?
Yeah, it was definitely something I'm not going to forget in a long time. We spent 14 days in a hotel beforehand, even getting into the country, and you know, we're all in separate rooms. I was luckily next to my coach, so I figured that he can't actually get out of his room and he can't escape from there. So if I hit tennis balls against the wall, he has to listen to it at all times of the day.
Oh,
so
no.
I was getting everything back on him. So it was great. It was good fun. But no, I mean, it's been pretty hard. You know, there's been a lot of strict rules, and I think obviously it's for a good reason. And you know, I'm very fortunate to go and play and even have the chance to be in the country. So it's been a learning experience for sure, but we've all been trying to work through different rules and a different lifestyle that tennis hasn't normally seen. You know, a normal week for us looks like 30 weeks of the year travelling.
30 weeks? That is a madness, Katie.
Yeah,
normally. Is it even worth having a home in the UK?
You're asking me that right now. I'm thinking about it. At
You're
this
like,
point, who
I'll
knows?
I'll just pop off to Monaco. That's
Literally.
The way I'm rolling. Yeah, talk about adaptability. You mentioned earlier just coming out of the hotel room to get some food.
Yeah.
And there's like a gnarly fine if you cross the line.
There is. I mean, there was literally, so they were putting paper bags outside, literally outside our door for breakfast, lunch and dinner, just knocking on the door, whether it was 6 a.m, any time of the day. And so you'd go out and get it. But if you cross the line, then there's a guy sitting in the hallway who was watching us. So if we go over, then we get fined.
So, that is so brutal. Did you get to choose what was in the paper bag?
You didn't get to choose what was in the paper bag, but luckily they gave us like $100 on Uber Eats every day.
Oh, brilliant.
So even if we didn't fancy the food, we were very lucky.
I bet your nutritionist wouldn't have been too happy with what was provided in the brown paper bag.
He was keeping a close eye on my diet for sure, especially as I'm stuck in a room the whole time. It's not an easy situation to be in, but you've got to adapt to it.
When you're out in Australia, you got quite a tough draw, but performed under pressure.
Yep.
Against the It Kid.
Yes.
Coco Golf.
I started my year really well. Obviously, coming off the back of injury and coronavirus, it's been pretty tough. But of course, my level's still there. I'm still playing some great ball. It's just a matter of getting some consistency and staying healthy, really. That's, it's not an easy thing to do. But yeah, start of the year was great. Had a couple really good wins. Played a great match against Osaka, who obviously isn't a bad tennis player.
Talk about a tough draw, though, in Melbourne. Coco Gauff, Osaka, you're really up mixing with the big guns there.
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's sort of what you expect when you go to these tournaments. And if you want to win them, you have to go through the toughest competitors in the world. And it's just something that you've got to be prepared to do. And, I feel like I'm definitely able to compete with these people. And I just got to give it a go. You're the underdog, so you got nothing to lose.
And taking it back to 2019, you were on top of your game, just breaking into the top 100.
Yeah.
And you've had your fair share of adversity when it comes to injury.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that at such a young age?
I don't think there's any way to just be able to deal with it. I personally found it very tough. And I'll be honest when I say I had some pretty bad days, but you get through them for the good days. And I feel like I had a really good team around me and a good support network, and obviously my family and everyone was there for me. So of course it was a tough time, and I think I was a little naive in what to expect, but I made it through, and it's definitely made me tougher, and I am here today because of that. So yeah, I strongly believe that.
And do you think this sort of strange lockdown period that we've had this last 18 months has given your body more time to recover, to be fresh and hungry to play? Because it seems like now you're on the best form you've ever been in.
Yeah, for sure. You can look at it two ways. We've had quite a bit of time off, and sometimes your body isn't used to having time off, so it's sort of, coming back into playing tennis, you have to be super careful and make sure you don't pick up any niggles on the way. But I also know that this time has been great for me because I've been able to do everything that I've been wanting to do and not had time to do before. When the tennis cycle keeps going, it's almost impossible to have time to yourself and build on your body and make yourself stronger, because there's tournament after tournament, so you don't have any downtime. So I use this time literally just to build some strength and some robustness, which hopefully will come out this year.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. It better. All that hard work.
The physicality of the game of tennis seems absolutely ridiculous. Coming from snow sports myself, it's quite a high impact sport, but it seems like tennis, there's so much time on your feet, changing direction. How do you deal with that load, and what's a typical training day like to be able to attain that physicality?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes on. There's so many different components to tennis. There's hand-eye coordination, there's strength.
I'm just going to put it out here, I don't have that bit.
I'm sure you do.
I'm still
questioning whether I have it. So I've been doing this a good few years. But no, it's tough. There's a lot of endurance as well with it all. And it's not an easy sport. But I mean, my day sort of looks like, at the moment, I would say a couple hours of tennis in the morning, a lot of fitness as well, a lot of maintenance work, probably an hour of maintenance work a day.
What does that involve, maintenance work?
So that's sort of looking after all the little niggles that I've had before.
Yeah.
And just ensuring that they never creep up again. A little bit of rehab, I guess.
Is that with all the TheraBands and...
Oh, yeah. But actually, the physio that I'm working with at the moment, he's really good at it, because he actually tries to make games out of it. So I almost forget what I'm doing. So I'm not just sitting there doing this for about half an hour,
but
I'm doing, fun games and getting it competitive and all sorts. So actually it's been actually my favorite part of the day.
No way.
Besides being on the tennis court, of course, but no, it's super fun.
Yeah, because the rehab can be a really monotonous process, I suppose it's with anything, it's about trying to find enjoyment in that tougher, stickier part.
Yeah, I think I've been through quite a few rehabs and, you know, it can get pretty stale sometimes, and that's unfortunately the way it is. And I think to keep it fun and fresh is super important, and it helps, you know, go a bit quicker, and then you don't have any issues and you're not thinking about things so much, and yeah, you're just getting on with your work and hopefully getting through it quite quickly.
So as a former athlete myself, just claiming it, still do the odd occasional stunt.
No, you're awesome.
My peers in the sport of snowboarding have almost been my lifeline, almost like my family, travelling abroad. Mm-hmm. There's this new generation of talent in the UK, female domination. There's three, four of you, Harriet Dart, Jodie Burridge, and there's Heather Watson. I mean, the list goes on. Are they, you know, is it very competitive? How do you juggle the sort of friendship versus competition, or how does it work?
I think it's difficult, especially with tennis. It's definitely something that is quite an individual sport. You know, we all come together one week of the year and we're all together at this point, and like anywhere, you know, you have closer friends and obviously people that you compete with at the same time. It's not always going to be easy, but yeah, I mean, I think as a general we're all pretty good friends and we all get on really well, so we've been pretty lucky with that. Yeah, I mean, so if we go to another tournament, we'll all kind of hang out, or we'll go for dinner, or we'll make a choice to go and do something together, which is really nice. I mean, I was having breakfast with like Katie Swan every single day before my matches in my last tournament.
Yeah.
And it's just super nice to have someone else there that you're super close with, and yeah, they can be there for you at the same time, because tennis isn't an easy sport, you know. It's day in, day out craft. Yeah, it's nice to have a lot of girls around you.
It must be like a really fine line with friendship and that sort of like competitive edge on the court.
Yeah.
With, you know, three, four, five of you sort of really coming up through the ranks in the sport. Do you think that's driven the level of progression in the UK?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's great. I really do. You know, for all of us, I think we all need to have a bit of healthy competition. I think it's kind of what makes us the animals that we are.
You know, we're claiming it. Animals. We animals. Are animals on the court.
No, you've got to be. You've got to be competitive, and you've got to have that spirit about you. And I think it's really important to have that. You know, it drives you, and it makes you into a better person and player, and yeah, I think we all do that to each other really well, and it'll, in the long term, it'll be great for us, I think.
That's so cool. I suppose in practice, down at the National Tennis Centre, it's great, but then the minute you get paired up against each other internationally, that must be quite tricky.
Yeah, I mean, of course you've got to kind of keep perspective, because ultimately you don't actually play against each other that much, so, you know, you'll have one or two games a year, absolute maximum, where you play these people. But yeah, ultimately you just have to play the ball. You can't play the person, and I think that's something you have to do throughout your career. No matter who you play, you're only going to play what's coming at you. So ultimately you can't get wrapped up in the emotions and all that other stuff. So I think what you keep on court is important, and then to have that divide line, and when you go off court and be able to hang out with friends, I think it's really important.
That's such a nice way of putting it. I've never heard that before. As an onlooker of the sport, I'd always think, oh, they're playing blah, blah, or they're paired against this person. But you've got to play the ball, not the person.
You do.
So good.
You do. I mean, you're not playing the other person. You're literally responding to what they give you. So, I mean, you have to. You have to be prepared for anything. Some people have good days. Some people have bad days. That's part of it.
And tell us a little bit about that setup in Putney, the LTA. You all train there, right?
Yeah, so the majority of us train, we all train at Roehampton in near Putney. And they've basically got everything there. I mean, literally everything. We're super lucky to be there. You know, they've got everything on site, physios, doctors, everything. So yeah, it's really nice. And also it's kind of good for us because we get to practice with each other and spar with each other. And yeah, it kind of works out really well that we're all in the same place.
Tell us about your upcoming tournaments and your aspirations with the grass court season literally about to kickstart.
I mean, this is like super exciting to me because I obviously, so last year was coronavirus, and the year before I had my back back injury, so I haven't actually played it for 2 years on the grass now.
Oh.
And yeah, you know, for me, it's a huge thing. So I'm really looking forward to playing. And you know, I'm also going to keep some sort of perspective out there. I mean, it's so important as an athlete to have perspective. And I know people say it all the time, and it's like, yeah, perspective.
Yeah.
But you know, it is actually really important to have it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it because
say perspective,
yeah.
What do you mean? In the fact that you've been out for 2 years and you're going in?
Look, I mean, tennis is a fast-moving sport. It changes every single week. You know, you can have your best week of your life and then you can lose 10 matches in a row. It's just the way it works, unfortunately.
Brutal.
It is. And you have to kind of learn how to lose, and you have to get over it and be ready to compete and play every single week and not let that kind of waver your positiveness and your mental side of things. It's super important. But yeah, I mean, for me, I haven't been on the grass for 2 years, so I'm just going out there and enjoying myself at the end of the day.
And that's often when you remove that layer of pressure.
Exactly. I mean, I see no pressure at all. I mean, the only pressure that I'm going to put on is myself. You know, I expect myself to go out there and play unbelievably well every single time, which unfortunately it's not always the one, but I'm going to expect that of myself every day. And I think, you know, I can just do the best that I can, and that's all I can expect.
Nice.
Yeah.
So first two tournaments are Nottingham.
Yes. So it's not fully been confirmed yet, but I know there's Nottingham the first week, and then there's either Nottingham or Birmingham the second week.
Yeah.
And then the third week is Eastbourne, and then the fourth week is Wimbledon. Obviously, we're going to be at home for the grass courts, which is super nice.
Yes.
So excited.
That must be such a good feeling to play at home. And Eastbourne's a really big one in the build-up.
Yes.
Wimbledon, it's really where I see the British support sort of come in.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's Wimbledon and it's like every other tennis match in the world is forgotten and all eyes in the UK are on Wimbledon. What's it like stepping out into that court and playing at home?
You know, I've been super lucky to have multiple times to step out onto the court and be in my home country. And you know, Fed Cup was another one. We've had a couple ties at home now, and to be honest, they've been some of the best memories of my life. And you know, even thinking about them now, I actually get goosebumps because it's something that is what I've worked so hard for. And you know, I got my first win at Wimbledon a couple of years ago, and you know, those things always stick with you. They never leave you. So yeah, I'm hoping to obviously get many more of those on the way forward.
And do you believe in home advantage? Do you feel that energy from the crowd? And obviously this year, hopefully, there will be some form of crowd support.
Yeah, no, there definitely will be. I'm super excited because obviously, you know, this day and age, we've played the past year and there's been no real crowd. So to be able to actually have a crowd and then be at home is going to be pretty special.
Oh, I'm excited. So strawberries and cream, is that actually a thing? Do you guys get excited about that as well, or is it just the crowd? Are you allowed
definitely
a little bit of cream?
Yeah. I mean, we have it in the players' lounge. It's just, you
no
know,
way.
Yeah, we have strawberries and cream in the players' lounge, and it's like one of those things you're like watching people whether they put the cream on top or what they actually do, and I'm like, yeah, no, just the strawberries for me.
until you finish.
Until I'm finished, and then it's like, well, whatever you want.
So hopefully we'll catch you at the end of Wimbledon enjoying that strawberries and cream.
Yes, that will be the plan. Hopefully two weeks later.
I'm gonna keep an eye out for that on Instagram. So you're also into your football.
Yes.
Tell us about your love for Leicester, recently winning the FA Cup.
That's crazy. That's up there one of the best days for sure. I mean, obviously, excluding tennis.
Katie, that's a really, really bold claim.
I mean, it is. It is a bold claim, but I know how much it meant to us as a small team going to get all three of the titles. I mean, it was, we completed our set, and it's something as a club we've always wanted. And you know, it was on Saturday, I had my grandpa calling me and he was like literally in tears about it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't deal with this at all. Because it meant that much to him.
So epic.
So adorable.
And you do take your passion for football onto the court. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Tell us about your warm-up, your tennis warm-up, come on.
Well, I actually wouldn't call it football because it's barely recognised as that, but we do try and get a little football out, and it's part of my warm-up because, you know, as I said with rehab, I think it's it's important to do something that you enjoy, and even though I'm terrible at it, we still have good fun. We warm up with a little football game, which
nice.
Is enjoyable. Yeah.
Love that. So you're going to come and play five-a-side in the off-season with me?
Can confirm. If you want to lose, then yeah, sure, I'll happily do that.
It's cool. I've recently just started playing and I'm definitely like a beginner, but I'm sort of like a turbo ball. I just turn up and I'm like, yeah, I'll do all the running and I'm going to kick it as hard as I can.
But the issue is with football, me, is, you know, obviously when I'm playing with my coaches and stuff, I can't help but literally like grab onto them and like pull them away, and I don't feel like that's allowed in football.
I don't actually think that's not a part of the tackling process, as much as I'd like it to be.
Yeah, that's how I get the ball basically, so I'm not sure you're going to be winning that one.
So music,
yeah,
is that an important factor in your game, pre, post, training?
Yeah, I'm all for music. You know, I don't really have a specific type that I like, but I enjoy different kinds. You know, I like upbeat music. I think it's pretty important. Bit of R&B, kind of hip-hop girl.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I
positive vibes?
Yeah, I like positive vibes.
Yeah,
like, to
love
get
that.
Me through a few sessions is exactly what I need. But I'm someone that actually travels with a speaker, and I literally kind of put it on my court sometimes when I'm warming
no
our
way.
Court. Yeah, no, I okay. actually have it when I play tennis sometimes.
Give us some tunes. What are we going to be
oh,
listening
God.
To? Is that a lot of pressure?
No. I literally have like a playlist where, you know, on Spotify you can literally choose a mood.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, happy mood.
Yes.
Like every time. So yeah, that's a bit of me. But I do love a bit of Drake and a bit of those guys. To me, that's
something a bit heavier.
Yeah, like, yeah, when I'm feeling like a bit more of a beat, I kind of go for a bit of that when I'm driving or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Big drive all the way over to Putney.
Yeah, exactly. Big drive over to Putney. But if I go back up to Leicestershire, then
that is a bigger drive.
A bit longer, like a little bit longer.
So when we were planning this podcast, you said you're not a fan of an early morning.
Oh my God.
So we met at 11 a.m. How do you manage your training around your lack of desire to get up in the morning?
That right there,
yeah,
is my lifesaver.
A little bit of coffee.
Genuinely, I have to have coffee before I go in. Like, people seem to know me as like a pretty happy girl when I've had coffee.
But you've had coffee,
the odd occasion they've seen me without coffee when I've not had time, and they're like, whew, maybe stay away from her today. They literally run away that way.
What's your routine like day to day? Is it early starts or does it vary?
I think, to be honest, like right now with the grass, you can't actually have early starts because it's actually, you know, you'll have dew on the grass, so you can't play on it.
Hey, that's perfect.
Which is great for
that's
me.
Gonna
it's like
change,
the best
though.
Season ever.
Come July.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. But I think my team kind of know when the times are that I am most effective. So, and obviously, you know, you put me on a court at 7 a.m, you've got to do it sometimes. It's just part of it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be like, you know, 100%, you know, I'm not always going to be great at that. You know, I'm probably going to be quite moody, but I'm going to get the session done and do all the work that I need to do. So yeah, we kind of like structure it depending on how much sleep I get. You know, if I get a good night's sleep, then, you know, I'm fine in the morning. So first thing in the morning is great for me. But if I've had a tough night's sleep, then hey.
Not the girl to be around. Get the Drake on.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the coffee in.
No, 100%. Yeah, no, it's very easy to... It's very easy to not get everything done in the morning, and, you know, I actually like having time to myself because then I can have like a really good breakfast and then I'm ready and prepared for the day. And yeah, I don't know, maybe it's an excuse for me not actually having to wake up early, but hey, who knows.
Let's delve into nutrition.
Yes,
because people are fascinated by athletes and what they eat.
Yeah.
So on that day, grass court day,
yeah,
what are you having for brekkie, lunch and dinner? And is it scaled around how much time on the court you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, for me, it's always been trying to get enough food in my body to make sure that I've got the, like, enough in reserve. I think initially my prep always starts the day before. So, you know, I'll be obviously eating well as the week goes on. But the day before is the day that I'm like, right, this is what I need to compete the next day. So the night before, I'm always having like pasta with chicken or and some veg and some things like that. So
I know you like your chicken fajitas as well.
I love a chicken fajita. Can't go wrong with that.
We did a bit of cooking last summer, didn't we?
We did. We nailed it.
So you got your chicken and pasta the night before.
Chicken and pasta the night before.
Day off, then, what we having?
Day off, honestly, if it's in between a tournament day off, then 100% I'm going to be going all out, eat as much as I possibly can.
Really? That's a pretty bold statement, Bolter.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to get as much as I can in my body because I know the next day I'm going to need it regardless, whether that's, you know, through nerves or through the physicality of the sport. I'm going to need that stuff there. I'm going to need it to fuel me, basically. Yeah.
And what are you going to have for breakfast?
Breakfast. My ideal breakfast would be porridge.
Oh, yeah.
Porridge with
a bit of fruit. Love a bowl of porridge.
Maybe a bit of yogurt on top. That's nice. If I know I've got a big day coming up, that's my go-to. But hey, I'm also an avocado and toast kind of girl. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all about that too. So
maybe have a bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I'm not against that. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I was having literally avocado and toast every day and like a little chia pudding sort of thing.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was super cute.
Did they do the avocado on toast delivery in Australia on Uber Eats? Because let's be honest, over there, they really know how to do a good breakfast.
Oh my goodness, yeah. So obviously, I've been to Australia quite a few times and I have my little spots that I go to and they're normally in South Yarra and literally one of them is called Darling Cafe and I was ordering it, honestly it's embarrassing to say, I was ordering it for breakfast like every other day.
Amazing.
Like literally to my door and I felt terrible for it, but I was like, you know what, I'm so hungry. I've been dying for this the whole time.
But why not? You're burning the calories.
Exactly.
Good food. Yeah. So tell us about your relationship with Monday and the start of the week.
Yep.
Do you like Mondays?
Yeah, you know what, I actually like a Monday. I think a lot of people don't like it because it's kind of, I don't know, I guess it's not fun to go back to work for them. I don't know, but you know, I love my job. I've spent the whole weekend relaxing and recovering and doing all the recovery that I possibly can. And then I'm super excited for a Monday because it's the start of a week. So
yes.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to get going and.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, feel the same. It's not sometimes on a Sunday night, it's a bit like, oh.
Of course, some days,
I've had such a good weekend, but then getting up and attacking the week, there is no better feeling.
There is no better feeling. That sense of achievement is like, it's well worth it.
Is there any takeaways you can leave our Monday Mile listeners with for a source of Monday motivation, the get up and go?
You know, it's a funny one that, because I sort of have one quote that always sticks in my mind, and it is, excellence is perseverance in disguise, and is something that I've always remembered since I was like super young. And even if you don't feel like it on the day, if you can continue to do it and just have like a little bit each day, then it's always going to pay off in the end. You know, like that's the whole point in consistency, and
that is something that sticks. Powerful. Excellence is perseverance in disguise.
Yeah,
what a note to go away on.
I love it.
Katie Bolter, good luck on the grass court season.
Thank
you. We cannot wait to watch you in action. And of course, every Brit man and his dog is going to be supporting you at Wimbledon with the strawberries and cream.
Hell yeah.
Woo! Enjoy quarantine.
Yeah, thanks.
Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. It really is. Tennis season, and Katie Bolter is ready to deliver. She's fired up, you heard it. She's played in Australia, she's beaten Coco Gauff, and she has been running up against some of the top players in the game. Wishing Katie all the very best of luck in the upcoming tournaments, and you know what? Have an absolutely wicked week.